This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God, help us not to cease from our exploration, for the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started, and to know the place for the very first time. Amen. Good morning. Those words are a paraphrase of some famous lines from T.S. Eliot's extended poem called The Little Getting. And those of you who have pilgrimaged with us will probably recall that when we finish the pilgrimage at this altar, I always quote those lines from T.S. Eliot. We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time. It is an image of our whole Christian journey that we come back periodically, but we come back changed and transformed. And that is certainly what is going on for Jesus today. I don't know why, but it seems like every time I go to St. Louis to go home, we come back and I have this gospel, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown. Well, I can tell you that that's always the case. My family loves to rib me about their brother, uncle, priest, and this trip was no exception. My little nephew, Alex, who happens to be the older of Ryan and Michelle's boys, Ryan's the one who had the miraculous cure of the brain tumor, who again sends his best wishes and prayers and thank yous to this congregation, because he is convinced that it is those prayers that brought him through all of that. Well, Alex, at the tender age of, I think he's 4 and a half, has decided to start playing priest. And so he says Mass. And if you're lucky, you get invited to attend one of Alex's Masses. Well, he's very clear that the deacon doesn't hold the gospel book like this. You have to hold it like this. And if you don't, he tells you about it. The time came for us to have the family prayer before the 4th of July food fest, and as usual, my brother turned to me and asked me to do it. And so everybody's gathered around, and I went through this whole litany of wonderful things that we're thankful for in our extended Zlatic family. And when I finished, my sister turned to Alex and said, "Howdy do?" And Alex just shook his head like this. Prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown. This is what Jesus found. Now, if we look at this on one hand, it's understandable why they take offense at him. I mean, think of this. He's the son of a carpenter. He chooses not to follow in his father's footsteps. He goes into this questionable, at best, occupation of an itinerant preacher. He doesn't really have the training for that. And besides that, now he's assembled this ragamuffin group of what he calls disciples who are running around the towns and villages with him. So from that aspect, it's a little understandable why they wouldn't exactly be enthralled with what Jesus is doing with his life. But on the other hand, when you think about what we've heard in Mark's gospel so far, it's a little surprising. Because Jesus has this incredible popularity. Remember, even on that first day, he preached in that same synagogue, and they were astounded because he taught with authority. Remember that? And then he goes over to Peter's mother-in-law's house next door and cures her. And by that evening, there are so many people that he's having a hard time keeping them away. This is on day one. And then remember that next story where the paralyzed man has his friends who want him to be cured. There's so many people, they can't even get to Jesus, so they cut a hole in the roof and lower him down. Huge crowds. And then we go on and remember the hemorrhaging woman story we just heard a couple weeks ago, where that woman who fights her way through the crowd and touches Jesus and the disciples, when Jesus asks, "Who touched me?" "Jesus, there's so many people here. How could you possibly expect us to know who touched you? Everybody's touching you. The people are up against each other." So from that aspect, it's a little bit surprising, this incredible popularity that Jesus has, and now he comes home and there is absolutely no hero's welcome. So what do we learn? Well, the first takeaway from this reading is probably the most important one, and it's one I take great comfort in, because if they didn't like Jesus' preaching sometime, I shouldn't be upset when you all don't like mine. But the other thing is the fact that this does not deter Jesus from his mission. As he talks about shaking the dust off of your feet as a testimony against those. Remember that story about Barack Obama when he was asked, "How do you deal with those who continue to say bad things about you?" And he didn't even speak. He just went. Well, this is what Jesus does. This is what we are called to do. Why? Because it's not about success. It's about being faithful. That's, I think, the most important takeaway for us. We have two stories in this Mark 6, 1-13. Very disparate stories. Some scripture scholars tell us, don't try to preach on both of these. Just choose one and preach on that. Well, as usual with Mark, I think there's a reason why he has these two stories juxtaposed in the same area. Because that first story is very much about failure. Jesus could not perform miracles there for the most part because of their unbelief, as Mark tells us. Now, another takeaway for that is, if we want God to be able to do God's work, we better believe. That's where it starts. But there's no guarantee that we're always going to be successful. There is the story of failure. Now we move to that second story where Jesus sends them out two by two and gives them authority over the unclean spirits. Now, there's the clue to what's important there. There is no evidence so far in Mark's gospel of any kind of training that these disciples have received. It is Jesus giving them the authority, Jesus giving them the power that's going to enable them to do what they do. In other words, as someone very wisely once said, the whole Bible can be summarized in six words. It's about God, not about you. It is the power of God that enables them to do what they do. In the Episcopal Church, we have every 3 years what's called the General Convention. And if you've taken Episcopal 101, you'll probably recall that that's how the church operates, that we have these intervening diocesan conventions at the local level, but the whole church leads to this what's called Triennial General Convention that's taking place right now in Austin, Texas. And it is where the delegates and the bishops all come together and they deal with figuring out how the Holy Spirit is calling us as a church to move forward. Well, our wonderful presiding bishop, Michael Curry, who the whole world knows now because he preached that wonderful sermon on love at the royal wedding, he decided that they were going to have an old-fashioned revival as part of this convention that's going on in Austin, Texas. In the middle of his remarks during this particular revival meeting, he tells an anecdote that really amplifies what I'm talking about today. Now, to set the stage for this clip we want to show you, he says that it was back when he was a parish priest, and they had two little girls, and his wife had to leave to take the older girl somewhere, and he is left to get his three-year-old Elizabeth ready to go to preschool, and this is where we pick up this clip with that as a backdrop.
Okay. So anyway, I'm there at home with Elizabeth.
Así que estaba ahí en casa con Elizabeth.
And we were waiting a little while before we went off to school.
Y estábamos esperando hasta que
Para and so I said, Elizabeth, I need you to go ahead and put your raincoat on.
Y le dije, Elizabeth, quiero que te pongas la chamarra para la lluvia.
And she looks back at me at 3 years old now.
Ella me miró, tenía tres añitos.
Now here I am, the rector of St. James Church.
Yo era el rector de la iglesia San Jaime.
The third oldest African American church in the Episcopal Church.
La iglesia con la de tercera antigüedad.
A historic church.
Iglesia, una iglesia histórica.
The church that gave you Thurgood Marshall.
La iglesia que le daba.
Yeah. Oh, this is a serious church.
Una iglesia muy seria.
Yeah. So here I am, the rector of St. James.
Así que ahí estaba yo, el rector.
And here's this little three-year-old person.
Y esta personita de tres años.
I said, Elizabeth, put your raincoat on.
Le dije, Elizabeth, ponte la chamarra de la lluvia.
And she said, why?
Y ella me dijo, ¿por qué?
I said, well, because it's going to rain.
Y dije, porque va a llover.
She said, she ran to the window of the front living room.
Ella corrió a la ventana de la sala.
Looked out the window.
Miró por la ventana.
And said, but it's not raining outside.
Y le dice, pero no está lloviendo afuera.
I said, I know that, but it's going to rain later.
Yo le dije, sí, ya sé, pero va a llover después.
She said, mommy didn't say it was going to rain.
Mami no dijo que va a llover.
So you got to know the source of authority. That's that all.
Ella sabía quién era la autoridad ahí.
I said, I know mommy didn't say it was rain, but Al Roker said it was going to rain. I tried to explain to her about weather forecasting. And I showed her the newspaper. And I finally said, why am I doing all this? Elizabeth, just go and put your raincoat on. So we left the house and got in the car.
And
drove off to the nursery school. And so I took her in the school.
Así que la llevé a la guardería.
And I came back out and sat in the car.
Salí, me senté en el carro.
And I sat in the car.
Y yo le dije adiós.
I said, I can't believe that little thing.
¿Tú puedes creer que esa chiquilla?
She actually thought she knew better than I do.
¿Ella se cree que sabe más que yo?
Here I am, the rector of historic St. James.
Aquí soy yo, el rector de St. James histórico.
Thurgood Marshall, Pauli Murray, they all came out of that church.
Del Marshall y Paul Sherry, todos ellos vinieron a esta iglesia.
Yeah, here I am. And she actually thought she knew more than I did.
Así, esa chiquilla se cree que sabe más que yo.
I spent more time in seminary than she's even been on the earth.
Yo pasé más tiempo en el seminario que ella lleva en la tierra.
And she actually thought she knew.
Y ella pensaba que ella sabía.
More than I did.
Más que yo.
And it occurred to me,
y luego se me ocurrió a mí,
that must be what we look like to God.
Que así nos vemos nosotros a los ojos de Dios.
That's what. And I have this fantasy of God putting his hand on his cosmic hips.
Y yo me imaginé a Dios con sus manos.
And just saying, they are so cute.
En sus caderas cósmicas dicen, ay, qué lindos ellos.
They think they know so much.
Ellos se creen que saben tanto.
But don't they know?
Pero no saben ellos.
That I was the one that called this world into being in the first place.
Que yo fue el que hice que este mundo se hiciera desde el principio.
Don't they know that I created?
No saben ellos que yo creé.
The vast expanse of interstellar space.
El espacio interestelar.
Don't they know?
Ellos no saben acaso.
That I told old Moses.
Que yo le dije a Moisés.
Go down, Moses.
Ve, Moisés.
Way down in Egypt land.
Allí en la tierra de
and you tell old Pharaoh.
Y dile al
let
Faraón,
my people go.
Que deje a mi pueblo.
Don't they know that I'm the author of freedom?
Que yo soy el
don't
autor
they
de la
know
libertad?
That I'm the creator of justice?
No saben que yo
don't
soy el creador
they know
de la justicia?
That I'm the God of love?
No saben
don't
que yo soy
they
el
know
Dios del amor?
That I came down as Jesus?
No saben que yo
to show them the way.
Para
to show them the way to love.
Para
to show them the way to life. to show them how to live together. Don't they know how much I love them?
No saben cuánto yo les amo.
How much?
Cuánto.
My brothers.
Mis hermanos.
My sisters.
Mis hermanas.
My siblings.
Hermanos míos.
We have work to do.
Tenemos trabajo que hacer.
To stand for Christianity.
Para levantarnos por la el
a way of being Christian.
Una manera de ser cristianos.
That looks like Jesus of Nazareth.
Que tenga la apariencia de Jesús de Nazaret.
A way of being Christian.
Una manera de ser cristianos.
That is grounded.
Que está arraigada.
And based on love.
Y basada sobre el amor.
A way of being Christian.
Una manera de ser cristianos.
That is not ashamed.
Que no da vergüenza.
To be called people of love.
It's about the power of God. There is still that part that we must play. Jesus, even Jesus, could do nothing in that town because of their unbelief. But the ragamuffin, untrained group of disciples cured many because they relied on the authority, the power given them by Jesus. When Jesus gives those instructions to those disciples in today's reading, Eugene Peterson, who has done a translation of the Bible in modern language, has Jesus' instructions summarized by this. Don't think you need a lot of extra equipment for this work. You are the equipment. So let's be like Elizabeth and put on our raincoats. Let's do what God is calling us to do. Not to worry about failure or success, but to worry about being faithful. As Paul says, in weakness, power reaches perfection. May it be so for us. Amen.